quite unusual.
Hello, and welcome to the Quite Unusual podcast. I'm Nicole.
And I am Noelle, and I have to sign back in to Google Docs because for some reason I restarted my computer and it's like, you have to sign back in.
We were just talking about this. Restarting computers just ruins everything. But it's okay. We're not tech people. We never have been.
Honestly, I never will be.
There's two things that we aren't.
Uh-huh.
Scientists.
Yep.
And tech people.
Yep, 100%. Do you know what we are, though?
Podcasters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're definitely that.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say righteous cyborgs running across a field full of dragonflies, but...
That, too.
Also, podcasters. Do you... Okay, you have CoStar, right?
I do have CoStar.
So does CoStar ever say, like, weird fucking shit to you?
I don't think I have my notifications on because I literally never check it.
Oh, I also don't have my notifications on, but I check it all the time.
I never check mine, ever, once.
I do, and it says, like, hold on, let me, I just pulled up, one of my friends just sent me this one that was so fucking weird, I wanted to scream.
Isn't there something about, like, the writers of CoStar, something like they... purposely write like bad things or I don't know.
Maybe it's always so weird.
I've heard like weird shit about their writers.
Like, okay, so my friend sent me this one. Shout out to Lauren. Lauren sent me this. She said, you and Noelle are cult leaders. Noelle collects followers day and night. You promise miracle cures, but you both sacrifice virgins for power.
I mean,
I love it.
You don't not do that though.
No, I mean 100%. But like, that's not a horoscope.
No, that is very a weird, very weird thing.
Wait, I have another really weird one, if you will allow me to find it.
I will.
It was so fucking weird that I seriously was like, I don't even understand how CoStar is around anymore. Oh, here's another cult leader one for some reason.
It's your phone's listening to you talk about how you want to start a cult.
Maybe. someone else sent this to me. You and Noelle as cult leaders, you preach the importance of hedonism. Noelle believes in the ascension as the only path to salvation. Neither of you can convince each other to join your cults.
Okay.
Why does it keep telling me?
What it's telling, I mean, what I would take from that is that you should definitely start a cult. That actually, I was thinking, we haven't done a cult in a while.
I think
my next topic is going to be a cult.
We just got a review asking us for a cult.
Really?
Yes. It was. I love cults. I love cults so much. Okay, so we just got a review, actually. Actually, shout out to everyone that just left us a bunch of reviews. We got a bunch of really nice ones.
Thank you.
And it was really nice of you. And as I have promised, and we'll deliver on this promise, because already started doing it.
Did you?
I did. If you wrote us a review... DM me personally if you can, because otherwise I'm not going
to sit down. Yeah, our DMs get kind of crazy sometimes, so we try to answer them all, but we're people and we get sidetracked. So.
Yeah, but reach out to me if you can on IG at @no.krupa. And I am drawing pictures of Nicole and myself and you, whoever you are, the writer.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think we would look like.
Three of us together.
In different scenarios, yes. Okay. So I already did one. One was an undersea adventure.
Okay, fun.
So that one's going out to Adam K.
You heard it here first, people.
Patron, member of the coven. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who's writing reviews. But anyway, so we got one. And someone asked to do the Order of the Solar Temple.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to do maybe Nexium. That sex cult one. Because I've been wanting to watch that documentary.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to do that one.
That's crazy because I've been wanting to get a brand. So if you... yeah, so that's perfect. Maybe we do a Patreon exclusive, like you brand my ass with something.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Do I get to come up with what it is though? Because that's...
Obviously.
Okay, cool. Why would the QU logo? The Rising Moon logo?
Wait. Should we?
Should we?
Should we? I think we should. You know what else we should do?
What?
We should go to medieval times more often.
So Noelle went to Medieval Times for the first time in her life this past weekend. And how was it? Give us your review, please.
My review? I'm going to apologize to my mother right now before I say this. I jizzed the entire time.
She did. I was sitting right next to her.
I was so excited.
There's a constant stream of jizz.
I was having so much fun. Jizz everywhere.
She did.
It combined all my favorite things. Okay. Ponies. The medieval fanfare. Obviously.
Men with long hair.
I love men with long hair.
And did you say horses?
I did say horses.
Okay.
And food and drink.
Food and drink.
Libations and refreshments.
And a falcon.
There was a fucking falcon. It was falcon. So majestic.
So majestic.
It was amazing. I saw a horse butt. I saw lots of beautiful people dressed in gorgeous costumes that called me m'lady.
M'lady.
But not in like an incel way, which was fun.
No.
You know?
It's like it's medieval times. It's the times way.
It's like it's like a normal way. Like if there's a normal and an abnormal way to call someone m'lady, it's the medieval times versus incel.
Yeah. I think anywhere other than medieval times is kind of the wrong way to say that.
Yeah. I'm going to say even at like a Ren fair, do not call me that because you know what happens.
That's acceptable.
You know what happens when men talk to me at Ren fairs?
Just don't talk to Noelle at a Ren fair because she's going to make fun of you and bully you because that's what she does.
But in like a fun way.
But only at Ren fairs.
Only at a Ren fair. Otherwise, I'm like such a nice guy. Yeah. Actually, I want to go to a Ren fair so bad.
We were supposed to over the summer, but we didn't.
We were so busy.
We were really busy.
We were really busy. So we're going to make it a point to go this year, and I'm personally going to dress up.
Me
and
too.
Any of our locals, we'll pick a day. You meet us there.
Wisconsin, Illinois, wherever you're at.
Let's fucking go. You want to fly in from Colorado? Let's go. Who gives
go
a shit?
Go to the Ren fair with us.
You want to? You know what? I'll buy you a mead.
Let's do it.
You fly in from over 300 miles away, I will personally buy you a mead.
We will get you a mead.
That's so true.
We will.
Speaking of mead, Nicole, I have a question for you.
That was a nice segue.
It's mead related.
Is it mead related?
It is.
Or you promise that it
Did
is?
Did you like the long pause before my segue? Well, I thought of this masterful thing to say to you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so here's my beautiful mead-filled segue. What if I were to tell you that there was DNA evidence that linked just over 40 crimes all over Europe over 16 year period ranging from like petty theft to triple homicide to like the theft of mead.
Mead theft?
Mead theft, grand theft, meado. What if I told you that? What if I told you that even though the DNA has been identified, that there were no prosecutions for this person?
I would say that that person would probably have to be like an international spy, like Killing Eve or something, you
Definitely.
Know?
Oh, great show.
So, yeah. Or what's her name in that show? It's not Eve.
Villanelle.
Villanelle. Yeah. It'd have to be a Villanelle situation.
Villanelle.
For sure.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, it sounds crazy, right?
Insane.
Sounds suspicious.
It sounds insane.
Like you're taking crazy pills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is that story.
Is it?
The story of the Phantom of Heilbronn.
That sounds really cool. That sounds like a spy, an international spy.
Totally right. And like, I want to do like the Law and Order, like dun dun,
ding ding.
Is it? Wait, what?
What?
Is it ding ding or dun dun?
It's like ding ding.
That was like dun.
It's
dun.
It's a dun dun or a ding ding. It's whatever you want to like. How to say it?
One's like a bicycle. The other one's like ominous.
No, I'm not saying it's like ding ding. It's
boing,
like
boing.
It's like hur, hur.
What if the Law and Order thing?
It's not. It could be a dun dun or it could be a ding
the
ding.
Law and Order show
ding,
starts
ding.
With these are their stories.
I mean,
I need it. I want it. It's all I need.
That's like the sassy Law and Order.
That's the Michael Jackson one. All right, so I have to preface this by saying I will do a lot of German accents. I will do a lot of mispronunciations of German places.
Mm-hmm.
Und I'm not sorry. So if you're German or you speak German and I say things wrong, you can write in to correct me, but
you can give us a bad review about how much you hate us because Noelle doesn't know how to say German words. No, actually, don't do that. Don't do that.
Okay, we're going to start. Okay. We're going to start. Okay, it all starts. The whole story starts in the gemstone town of Eider Oberstein, Germany.
Gemstone town.
They're famous for their gemstones.
Just like crystals and stuff?
Yeah. They have like mines all over.
What?
Like, they're like,
cool.
Gemstone city, baby. Mm. So it's famous for, the city's really cool. I was like looking it up, and it's famous for a chapel that's built into like the face of a cliff.
Cool.
That's known as Chapel in the Rocks or Felsenkirche, obviously.
Totally.
Also, it's famous for being the birthplace of Bruce Willis.
Nuh-uh.
Swear.
He's German?
No, he was born in Germany. His mom was German and his dad was like in the military or something.
Yeah, so that would make him German. You I said guess. No, his mom was German.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
No, he was born in Germany. His mom was German.
His mom was German, but he skipped that gene. It skips a generation.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so that's kind of a weird thing, yeah. Right?
You know, Bruce Willis, my friends and I, we do this pool where it's like,
oh,
pick three celebrities you think are going to die this year.
Yeah.
And I'm sad to say that he was one of mine.
I think that that's fair.
He's got a lot of health issues. He was like my wild card pick. Because I don't think it's going to happen, but like, you know.
He's not doing well.
He's not doing well, and it's really sad because he's such a gem.
He has
He's from the gemstone down, so.
Oh, my God. He's a righteous gemstone.
He is.
Yeah. Also, he was dead the entire time at the end of Sixth Sense.
Well, is he dead now, though, and we just don't know it?
Yeah, he's Bruce Willis-ing us. He's been Bruce Willis-ing us since, like, the late 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. It's just the ghost of him that we are all seeing. Because all of us see dead. We only see dead Bruce Willis.
Honestly. That would be pretty fucking cool.
Pretty fucking cool, right?
Right. Maybe what if it's like, if you're a good person, you see Bruce Willis. If you're not a good person, they're like, who's Bruce Willis?
They're like, we've never heard of him. But yeah, like, he died in the 90s.
But like, we know who he is because we're good people. And that means we get to go to the place of Bruce Willis's after
when the rapture comes, we get taken by Bruce Willis.
We get Willis'd. We go to the Willis Tower. Everyone else lives in our lives, right? Yeah. Okay. So, in May of 1993, well after Bruce Willis was born, which was 55, if you were wondering, because I looked up Bruce Willis for about 45 minutes today. A 62-year-old woman called Lieselotte Schlanger was found murdered. Schlanger loved two things. Cats and cake.
Is this woman you?
She's just like me, for real. I put that in these notes here. She's just like me, for real.
Like me, for real.
She had just made two lemon cakes and had been expecting a visit from her neighbors for afternoon tea. After no one had come to the door when her neighbor knocked several times, the neighbor decided it was time to call the police. The police broke down the door to find Lieselotte dead. She had been strangled with a string or possibly a wire, kind of lost in translation here, that they believed had been used to tie together a bouquet of flowers that was now strewn around the kitchen table. So someone took this little string that was tying these flowers together and they choked her to death with
it. It's kind of like poetic in a way, though.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
She had just made two lemon cakes.
I know.
Was strangled with the string of from a bouquet with the flowers
right
splattered all over the place.
I know. It's like giving, like, it's like Wes Anderson movie plotline. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So there had been no witnesses, no suspects, and no one the neighbors could think of that harbored any sort of ill will towards Lieselotte. I mean, she was like the lady that like made the lemon cakes and had the cats.
Right. I mean, everyone loved her.
Everyone loved her.
She's like, oh, I accidentally baked two lemon cakes. Would you like one?
But like, she did it on purpose every time.
Yeah.
You know? There wasn't even a sign of struggle. Simply a body, flowers, lemon cake, and a wandering cat. So sad.
And just one? She just had one cat?
I don't know. Unsure on how many cats
and
are.
And a wandering cat.
I'm going to say 1 to 12 cats, possibly.
Yeah.
No one was eating her face yet, so I'm going to assume that the numbers of cats were pretty low.
Well, that's because she had the lemon cakes. They were obviously going to eat that first.
I would.
Me
I bet
too.
Everyone in this room would.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier today, my cat, Jade, ate two entire Cheetos.
She did. I watched her.
It was really cute.
It was adorable.
And then I was Googling, should cats eat Cheetos after she had eaten two Cheetos?
She'll be fine.
She's fine. She's look fine. At her.
She's living her best life right now.
She's a Cheeto cheetah.
Best life.
The police scoured the house for anything that could lead them in some sort of direction without any luck until they swabbed the rim of a teacup that had been sitting next to Lisa Lett's body. And bam, DNA, but not the victim's DNA.
The murderer's DNA.
Someone's DNA. Like, what kind of psycho has, like, a sip of tea and then kills someone? Or worse.
A lot of people do that.
After they've killed someone, just like, don't mind if I do. And, like, have a little sip of tea. That's so fucked.
The Golden State Killer used to do that, didn't he? He would, like, eat cereal and shit. Like, he would, like, eat from the victims' houses.
Oh, yeah. That's why they called him the Golden Graham State Killer.
Yes.
Right?
That's what he's... That's another name that they have called him. But, yeah. No, I'm pretty sure he used to do that. Yeah. Like, he would eat, like... Yeah, he would, like, make himself, like, cereal and shit.
Just feels, like, super... almost, like, ballsy. Worse than just murdering someone.
Yeah, it's like a fuck you. Like, not only do I kill you in your own home, but I'm going to eat your own food in your own home without your permission.
That's because...
And I'm not even going to wash this dish.
That's because DNA didn't, like...
No.
...exist back then.
No. No one cared.
No.
Like, you could jizz all over the wall and the cops would be like... Well, can, there's nothing we could do.
You could write your own name in your own jizz on the wall.
You could say, my name is.
And it would be circumstantial.
And cops would be like, well, there's really nothing we can do. We're not going to find him. This case is going cold.
This case is going cold. Like, it says his name and his address and his home phone number right here. Should we call the number?
No, no. We don't know.
But I'm already calling it.
Not him.
Hello? Did you commit this crime?
Cops in the 70s were different breed.
Oh, okay. It's better or worse?
Worse.
I feel like same worse but different.
Worse at solving crimes. That's all I'm gonna say.
Actually, the crime solve rate is really low right now. So
okay, well, we're not gonna give cops the credit. We're gonna give scientific discovery of DNA the credit.
Let's do that.
Yeah,
let's give no cops credit.
They didn't. I don't think they got smarter. They just have the aid of DNA now.
I really hope the microphones picked up that.
I'm sure
meow.
That they did because I just heard it in
that
my ears.
The longest meow I have ever heard her do.
It's pretty good.
Incredible. Okay, back to the lemon cake lady. The DNA did not match anyone in the system. All they were able to tell was that the DNA came from a woman. So the case went cold. And remember at this time, like, when I say the system, there's like 10 people
yeah,
in the system.
Yeah, I just scrolled up a little bit. You said it was 1993. So we have to take into consideration that DNA like just became a thing.
100%. So. Yeah, like I don't know how familiar you are with early stages of DNA profiling for criminal investigation, like what you know about it. But the very first time DNA was used in a criminal trial was in 1986.
Really?
Yes. Which, I mean, that feels insane to me. That was like 2 days ago.
I always thought it was like it actually became, I always thought it was like 90s. Like that's earlier than I would have thought. I always thought it was like the 90s is when it actually came into play.
It
early
was
90s.
The 90s in America. So in the UK, the first case to ever... Mm-hmm. Use it was in 86. Okay. A British man called Dr. Alec J. Jeffries. I don't know what the middle J stands for, but it's probably Jeff.
Jeff Jeffrey.
Yeah. Alec Jeff Jeffries. Jeffrey. So he used DNA fingerprinting to verify if a man, it was a 17-year-old boy actually, if he was responsible for the rape and murder of two girls.
Jesus.
So he was being held with just like circumstantial proof. And they did this, like, really cool, like, sweep where they had 5,000 men in the area give DNA samples.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to try this new, like, science technology and see, like, if we can find who it is. And this man who I don't have the name of it. I should have wrote it down. But he was, like, a baker. It was the stupidest name. His last name was Pitchfork.
It's the stupidest name.
I don't remember his first name, but his last name was Pitchfork. And he was, like, a baker or
Pitch,
something.
Pitchfork.
Yeah. Bitch Pitchfork. So Bitch Pitchfork was like, oh wait, he's British. I'm sorry. I can't give me DNA today. I don't have it. I left it at home.
I don't know.
Yeah. And they're like, no, you can give your DNA. It lives inside your body. Like, and he's like,
literally here.
My brother's going to give his DNA for me. And they're like, that's not.
You obviously don't understand what DNA is, Pitchfork.
Not how it
pitch
works.
Pitch the bitch, Pitchfork.
Pitch the bitch, Pitchfork. No, it's fine. I'm not going to give it. But yeah, have a good day. And they're like, okay, this is like so suspicious. I feel like Pitch did this crime.
Yeah, he obviously did.
And then they swabbed him and he did the crime.
Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. So not only the first case was a 17-year-old boy exonerated, but also they caught the man that did it. Like, that's amazing. That's like a fucking home run right there, right?
The like, there might be actually something to this DNA stuff.
Yeah. One cop was like, I thought it stood for don't know anything. Because that's what I thought it was.
I thought.
It's not right. It's like, yeah, okay, well, cool. The first person to be convicted with DNA evidence just like off the bat was the following year in 1987. Mm. So I feel like this is amazing. Like,
so DNA was a thing first in the UK before it came to the US?
Yes. Dr. Alec Jeffrey was the one that started using it for a criminal trial.
Cool.
Yeah, and he originally was trying to like figure out if diseases that were passed on through family, like how to like identify how that worked. And he's like, oh shit, I can tell who every one of these participants is by their unique DNA.
He's like, wait, the cops need this.
And he's like, I'm having a thought about this. What if we took it and we sold it to the police? And then he did.
Great. So
thanks.
Thank you, Alec J. Jeff Jeffrey.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your for everything you've done.
For your service.
Yeah. So since then, the database has grown like exponentially, which allows law enforcement to use DNA on like literally every case. Because they also figured out that shortly afterwards that DNA didn't just live in your blood and like saliva and semen, but like it literally your skin is your DNA. Hair, DNA. Mm-hmm. Like everything on your body is DNA. There's something that I've always wondered that I just feel like I need to put out there, PSA style. Mm-hmm. Okay. There is no legal right in this country for police to take your DNA just because you've been arrested. So everyone listening to this right now.
Wait, say that again?
If you get arrested for a misdemeanor.
Right.
They, cops cannot legally take a DNA sample from you.
Yeah, but can't they like wait outside your house and go in your trash and then like take it that way? Or if you go into the station and you like take a cup of water, can't they take it?
Yes. They can't swab you.
I've seen that in movies. That's the only reason why I'm
saying
that.
I mean, they can do because it's like trash and like there's no law against that.
Right. Or if they give you like a cigarette and you throw the cigarette butt away in the trash or like you have a.
That's why you should always eat your cigarette butts.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Or if you. And then your cups too. When they give you a paper cup, you have to eat the cup. And if it's styrofoam, sorry about you. You got to house that.
Honestly, you're going to have the best shit of your life if you eat a styrofoam cup.
It'll be solid, at least.
It's going to be so solid.
That's a lot more than we can say for some shits.
The bar is low. All we're asking for is a solid shit once in a while. You know what I mean?
Just got to eat some styrofoam.
Eat the cup. So just so you guys know, you cannot be swabbed.
Unless your DNA is already in the system.
Yeah.
Then they have you.
Yeah, which in which case, it's like, what would you do, man?
You stole a pack of gum from 7-Eleven when you were 14 and they fingerprinted you? Yep.
Did you not? They can't do that. If you're arrested for a misdemeanor, they cannot take your DNA.
If it's on your record.
In 28 states, they can take your DNA if you've been arrested for a felony. But the rest of the states, you have to be charged for a felony for them to be able to take your DNA.
If you steal, they'll fingerprint you.
Are they allowed to? I don't know. I'm going to get back to this because I'm reading a lot of things. I don't know. This seems like a state-by-state thing from what I'm glancing on the internet.
It probably is. I feel like everything's state-by-state.
Probably. So. But we're getting back to it. Also, I did look up those Ancestry and like 23andMe type companies that claim that they don't give your DNA information to cops. No,
they do. They definitely do. That's how they got the Golden State Killer.
I know. But they're like, we only work with law enforcement if there is a specific warrant out there.
No, like
they just like sell it to everybody.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%. So I'm not sure like how strict and like abiding they are to like what they claim.
Right.
But I'm pretty positive they're like, oh yeah, no, you can just take a look through like our DNA records. If you need to.
That's how they got the Golden State Killer.
I know, which like sick. Love that the Golden Graham State Killer is gone.
But also like when people were signing up for that, that should have been like, hey, just so you know, now everyone has your DNA.
That's fucked up, dude.
It is really fucked up because people just wanted to learn where they came from. And now everyone knows who they are. It's like Gattaca shit, man.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I'm thinking Attica.
Attica! Yeah, no, Gattaca with Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke and Jude Law. Oh,
I love Uma. Great movie. Also, you just named the three hottest people.
Yeah.
Delightful. Mm-hmm. So at the time of Lisa Lett's murder, DNA profiling was very, very new technology. In March of 2001, 8 years later, in Freiburg, Germany, birthplace of Cher, weirdly.
Really?
No, I made that up.
Oh, come on.
The Bruce Willis one was real, but...
We would have all believed you.
I know. I'm not going to gaslight.
Yeah. No,
I know. I don't gaslight.
And then your credibility goes away.
So. I girl boss and I gatekeep, but I do not gaslight.
What a coincidence if it was, though.
That'd be fucking crazy.
We're crazy.
Well, then, of course, I Googled every single place that this, like, takes place in. Mm-hmm. And to, like, see if, like, celebrities were born there and only Bruce Willis was. Only Bruce
Willis. Well, we still got Bruce.
We got Bruce. We got big old Bruce. So a 61-year-old antiques dealer called Joseph Wallensbach would meet his end. Just like the last murder I spoke about, Joseph was found in his home, strangled to death. He had been beaten with an unidentified blunt object, and then he was strangled with, I saw a belt, but I also saw like string, like some sort of garden twine.
Okay. So, and do they think it's the same person? Because it's like similar deaths?
Well, I'm going to keep going.
Okay.
Both crimes involve the theft of money, so just little bits from both of them, from two older people. But the crimes took place almost 200 miles away from each other, although pretty similar, right?
Yeah, there's a definitely, what do they call it? A profile here.
Mm. Ooh. Yes. Would you say a DNA profile was forming?
It's a criminal profile for sure.
Yeah.
DNA. We don't have the DNA yet, so we don't know.
Well, as police were looking for evidence in Joseph's house, they happened to swab a handle of a drawer they believe money to be taken from. And the DNA results were identical to the DNA profile taken from the teacup years before. Dun, dun, dun. Double DNA.
How much do you think it probably sucked for criminals?
When
DNA became a thing, because none of them knew, and they were just like, we can get away with anything. And then all of a sudden they were like, fuck.
Yeah, dude, absolutely.
Then they were just all thrown in jail.
That's why the 70s was the heyday of the serial killer.
Yeah.
And then they got science, and they're like, oh.
Oh, damn, science.
Who was the guy that fucking tricked on himself by sending a floppy disk?
God,
I can't think of it.
Swapped it for DNA.
He was like, he asked the police if he sent them a floppy disk, if they could track where he was. And they were like, no. And he was like, that's what I thought, idiots. And then he sent them a floppy disk. And they were like, yeah.
Psych.
They were like,
we
can't. Hey, did you send this floppy disk? Because you're under arrest for the murder of 55 women.
It's the cops here, and we know that you did this.
You told me you couldn't find where I was.
You mean cops can lie?
Are you a cop? Because you have to tell me.
Stupid criminals.
Yeah, so, you know. Police linked the two crimes, and they were pretty confident that there is just a murdering, money stealing woman out there preying on the elderly.
A woman?
It was female DNA. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
In October of the same year, a 7-year-old boy stepped on a syringe while playing on a playground near, we're going to start getting into the words I can't say. Gerdelstein, Germany, which is about 60 miles from the first murder and 225 miles away from the second murder.
Just say all of the words like that and no one will be able to tell what they're actually supposed to sound like.
Yeah, das, was I'm going to do. There was a heroin epidemic sweeping Germany at the time because it was 2001. So I was kind of hitting the nation, you know. So the police took the syringe, they cataloged it, and then there it sat for a while. They're like, yeah, this is just another heroin needle.
Right. No one died. It was just there.
Yeah. And the mother of the 7-year-old boy was like, I'm going to need you to look into this because my kid just stepped on a fucking heroin needle at the park. So maybe you do your jobs for once.
Why is your kid running around barefoot at the park? Or was he wearing sandals? He could have been wearing sandals.
Okay. Either one. Sandals in Germany.
Isn't it kind of cold?
What is this? A fucking Dusseldorf holiday? Yeah. Okay. All right. Put some fucking closed-toed shoes on. Okay? Let's go, Lars. Maybe you need to wear some shoes. Okay? Okay, that's the only German name I can think of. Okay. So she's outraged. She demands to have the syringe tested for DNA. And she had her son tested for HIV as a precaution as well.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, the boy's test came back negative, but the syringe contained DNA from the Schlanger and Walsenbach crime scenes.
What?
So the police started to take this more seriously. They're like, okay, there's a drug addict out here. They're murdering people. They're stealing money from them to clearly like fund their addiction to heroin. Mm-hmm. This makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
The police dub the woman a phantom. They call her UWP or Uberkant. I can't say these fucking words, man. Uberkant.
Unbic?
Yeah, totally. It was not Uberkant at all. Uber.
There's an N between the B and the U, ma'am.
Did you just ma'am me?
I did ma'am
you. Because now I have a fucking precedence. I'm a m'lady.
M'lady. So
how dare thee? Okay. Ready? Here we go. Say German words, Noel. You can do this. I'm also dyslexic, so I don't always read words right. And so, sometimes I read words. I write, like if I write the script, right? Sometimes I read sentences and I know I'm saying just words that aren't there. And you give me this look like, power through it.
Like, you got this.
And I keep going. And as long as I don't fuck up, you don't ask questions. And nobody knows. So that's a peek behind the curtain. I don't know how to read.
She never learned how to fucking read.
You guys, I'm illiterate. This is my deepest, darkest secret. So the cops called her UWP, or in German, fuck, unbekannt, verblichte Person.
That was really good.
Thank you so much. Which is badly pronounced German for unknown female person. The press calls her the woman with no face.
Hmm.
Just days later, a truck is robbed near the city of Mainz, which is 100 miles away from where the syringe is found. A cookie is found on the pavement.
Shut up.
With a bite taken out of it.
That's like someone planted that.
That's fucking Sesame Street level Scooby-Doo ass right. Fucking crime, right? It's a fucking cookie.
It's like, I'm trying to find me, cops. Gonna leave this cookie here.
What if I put this little cookie on the ground? You'll never test it for DNA.
Jesus.
So they test this little cookie for DNA. And the saliva comes back as a match for the DNA from the two murder scenes and the heroin needle.
Wow.
So they're really building a profile.
The cops are like, what is happening?
She loves three things: heroin, chocolate chip cookies, and murder.
And murdering old people.
Those are her three favorite things. But it doesn't stop there. The DNA was found at an office that had been broken into in Dietzenbach, which is 30 miles away from the last crime scene. And then in 2003, it pops up at an abandoned, previously stolen car in Heilbronn, almost 100 miles away from the office building. In 2004, the phantom's DNA is found in Austrian Tyrol, where she broke into a series of garden sheds that run along a road towards a town called Innsbruck.
So this woman is a busy, busy lady.
She's got a lot going on.
She's running around, shooting heroin, eating cookies.
Biting cookies. She's never finished a cookie in her life.
She's stealing cars and she's killing old people.
She's on the 90s woman's diet. She takes a bite of a cookie and then throws the rest of it away.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was believed that she's on the run and she's sleeping in these garden sheds to avoid the cops.
Okay.
On one such day, she left a pair of sweatpants, a hooded cardigan, and some other just like little like odd items behind after fleeing a garden shed. So it's like some cookies with bites out of them, some cookies that have yet to be bitten. Like heroin needles of various states just of
everywhere.
Yeah, like just wild. Like sometimes there's like a heroin needle in a cookie. They're like, what was she doing?
Like, wild card. She's a wild card.
She doesn't shoot up. She injects the heroin into
the cookie,
an Oreo, and then she licks the heroin lace cream out of it. That's kind of her move.
She just eats the cream out of the Oreos and puts them back together and puts them back in. And the cops are like, what kind of a monster eats an Oreo like this?
What kind of a monster? Does this to an Oreo? You're supposed to dunk the cookie, everybody knows. You lick the cream and then you dunk the cookie. That is how you eat them.
Oh, man.
What year were Oreos invented?
1921.
I'm not going to look it up. So.
You continue. I'll look it up.
Okay, thank you. In 2005, the DNA is found on two beer bottles and a glass of wine in a bar that had just been robbed in a city called Karlsruhe, which is 57 miles away from that abandoned car.
I have an update on the Oreo.
The Oreo invention. Oreo Gate 2023.
March 6th.
Okay.
1912.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, made by Kraft.
Kraft. Well, this is an anti-Kraft household.
It is.
Yes. Well, that's really old. Okay, so happy centennial plus 11 years.
Coming up. Coming up.
It already passed if it was 1912.
No, I mean like the anniversary, March 6th.
Oh, yeah. So true.
Like the anniversary of the invention of the Oreo. That's Oreos true. Suck, though. Hot take.
You know what?
I don't like them.
I don't like them.
I think they're the worst cookie.
This is going to be wild sounding. I ate my first Oreo last year, chocolate Oreo.
Really?
I never wanted them. I was like, I just don't like it. I don't like what the vibe is.
You bought Oreos before?
I like the vanilla ones.
Oh, the regular. Yeah.
But I only like the cookie. I don't like the cream part.
Yeah, I don't either. I just don't like any of them, really.
So I just don't get it. No. Also, there's so many flavors. Yeah. I just saw that they made, get this, cookies and cream flavored Oreos.
Isn't an Oreo cookies and cream flavored?
It is inherently cookies and cream. Like that is, when someone references cookies and cream, okay, they are literally referencing Oreo.
Yeah.
So it feels like, I don't know. It's kind of like Oreo inception there.
Really dumb. Anyways.
Okay. Now that we've talked about Oreos, we can move on.
Yes.
So all this is going on. Everyone goes full Pepe Sylvia. Clearly the Phantom was busy for 8 years, and now she's just got like plenty of time and like a taste for crime
and Oreos.
When I was putting this together, I had like a Google map up and I was doing like next stop, next stop, next stop, next stop of like all these locations.
Should have like printed out the picture and like red string all around it.
Oh my God, should I?
Yeah. Like okay. That Charlie Day meme.
Yeah. Pepe Sylvia.
Yeah.
In 2006, the DNA is found in Arbois, France. Why did I say France? Because I said Arbois. France, which is 300 miles away from the last German location that she's in. A group of gemstone traders from Vietnam were robbed and badly beaten. A group of four male robbers were arrested after using fake Beretta FS-92 pistols to, like, hold up these gemstone traders. They're like, give us all y'all gems with, like, their little, like, fake guns.
Uh-huh.
They steal 3,000 euros, jewelry, and a bunch of gold bullion from these men. When the guns are swabbed for DNA, a hit comes up in the France and Germany shared, like, DNA database. Because at this point, like all of the EU is, like, compiling databases and, like, they're starting like to share with each other. Europe has a
VICAP situation happening.
Yes, hondo.
Cool.
Yeah. So it comes up, like, the Phantom has struck again. Same DNA. It's from this woman, the same woman that's at all these other crime scenes. And French authorities interrogate these four men. Like, where is she?
Yeah.
And they're like, we don't know. We don't know what you're talking about. And then, so they're unsuccessful. So then the Germans come in and they try to squeeze any information that they can regarding this female accomplice to the crime out of these men. And again, they're just like, we don't know who this is. We don't know what you're talking about. We did this alone.
Right. They're like, there's no girl in our gang.
And
this is a boy gang. This is not a girl gang.
Boys rule, girls drool, actually. So yeah, you're going to work with a woman. And the cops just, like, straight up don't believe them. They're like, why are they hiding?
They're protecting her.
Why, though? Like, what's going on? These four men swear up and down that they have no idea what anyone's talking about. No one gave her up. This leads the police to believe that she is a mastermind behind these crimes. Mm. Like, she's a pro. She's, like...
She's the boss.
Yeah, dude. She's, like, running Tokyo Underground right now.
Tokyo. I thought you were going to say Tokyo Drift.
she's drifting through life.
She's DQ, the drift queen.
She's the drift queen. She's the Han of the whole situation. By 2005, the Phantom was linked to 6 murders and 24 break-ins. In April of 2005, the police in Germany put out a reward for 100,000 euro for any information leading to the Phantom, along with an artist rendering of what they think she could have looked like.
How would they know?
From her DNA.
Oh, they were able to, like, rebuild what her face looked like?
It was like...
I thought they didn't get that technology to, like, way later.
So, it was just, like, a woman's face.
I just guessed.
Like, I'll post a picture of it, but I should have posted a picture in here. It's just, like, an oval face.
Like a generic rendering of a woman.
Long hair. They're like, she may look like this. A woman.
She may look like.
A female origin.
A woman.
Yes. Have you seen a woman? She may be a hardened criminal.
Jeez.
On April 25th of 2007, things start to get like super dark. A police officer called Michelle Kieswetter, and her partner were on patrol in their police car. Michelle is like 22 at the time. Her partner's like 25 at the time. They had been on shift for a few hours, and they decided to stop for a lunch break. So moments later, after like they like parked the car, they're just like having the little sandwiches, definitely eating an Oreo. Moments later, the back door of their squad car opens and 2 men get in the back.
What?
Michelle Kieswetter, who was in the driver's seat at the time, is shot in the head, point blank, killing her instantly. Her partner, who had been sitting in the passenger seat, was also shot in the head, but miraculously, he's still alive.
Whoa.
Like, it was just like a bad shot. Her partner was rushed to the hospital, and he remained in a coma for like a couple weeks. When he woke up, he had no memory of what happened at all. Like, they asked him, a woman shot you. And he was like, I don't know. I remember parking. That is the only thing I remember.
Did they get in through the back?
I don't know.
They just didn't lock their doors, I guess.
Maybe. So this partner was only able to recall stopping for lunch. And then that's it. Like, his memory is just gone from that point on.
Well, he got shot in the head, so yeah.
Like, they take the bullet out of his brain, and he, like, reboots.
And they're like, who is she? And he's like, I don't know.
Fast food lunch.
I just remember eating a sandwich.
Yeah, basically. When paramedics arrived, both of the cops were laying on the ground outside of the police car. Their handcuffs and their guns were stolen. The Phantom CNA was found all over the cop car.
They didn't even take the car?
Nope.
They just took handcuffs and guns.
Mm-hmm.
And killed 2 people for that.
Well, killed one, attempted.
Attempted to. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then dragged their bodies out of the car for some reason.
Okay.
In 2008, in Frankenthal, Germany, a former police informant was arrested after he was suspected of killing 3 used car dealers from Georgia, the country, not the state.
Mm-hmm.
Who had come to Germany to buy used cars. The bodies of these victims were found in the Rhine River after being stripped of all of their belongings and all of their money. The police found cells of the Phantom skin on the suspects' clothing and in the upholstery of the cars and on lint that had been in the car that belonged to the suspect, which is sort of fun because the car that belonged to the suspect was purchased by the police and given to the suspect to use because he was a police informant. And he's like, well, I need a ride.
Right.
So they bought this car for him.
And then he used it to commit this crime.
Yeah. I think it's sort of fun, right?
I mean, yeah.
The car containing her DNA was purchased secondhand by the police department and given to the informant. Hmm. So the police had 2 ideas. Either he was working with the Phantom or the Phantom was the original owner of the car. And just by coincidence, they happened to buy the car.
That would be a pretty freaking big coincidence.
Maybe.
the person that they just so happened to be like tracking all over Europe.
This is
like
a criminal mastermind.
Is the person that they bought a car from.
That is eluding police in several countries.
Yeah, I would say more. So I would go with the they're working together theory.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
So the suspect admitted to working with another man, but he denied having a female accomplice, and they could not get him to admit that he was working with a woman. He's like, it was just me and this guy, and that was it. So like I said, the Phantom's DNA was all over this car, all over this dude. It, like, she had like clearly been there, right? The Phantom's DNA was then found in an empty swimming pool in a place called Niederstetten, Germany, in March of 2008, after a burglary took place there.
Okay.
In March and April of that same year, her DNA was found in four home invasions in neighboring German towns of, I'm going to say that word.
That's how you say it.
Yeah. Thali Royal and Kirschied?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Kashid?
Kirschied?
There it is. Nailed it. The Phantom's DNA was also found at the scene of an apartment break-in in April of 2008 and at the scene of a robbery of a woman who was at a club in May of 2008. And again, the Phantom's DNA is found in the car of a nurse that had been found dead in October of 2008 in Weinsberg, Germany.
So at this point, the cops are just, like, losing their shit. They're like, we don't... Who is this?
They're like,
woman
pulling out their hair. Like, she's fucking everywhere. Is she behind me right now? She's
literally everywhere.
Yeah. It's crazy.
She's everywhere, everything, all at once.
She is everything.
She's just like that movie.
In a fishing lodge near the Luxembourg border, a manager of the lodge was knocked unconscious and had 300 euros stolen from her. She doesn't remember what happened. She said the person just came up from behind and, like, she was busy doing something and they hit her in the back of the head with a gun.
Yeah.
The Phantom's DNA was all over the room that the crime had occurred in, but not on the woman. At this point, like, it's serious. They have a drug-using, murdering, heist-leading kingpin who just, like, strikes.
Cookie-eating. I forgot that
cookie
one.
Cookie-biting.
Cookie biting.
Never finishes a cookie.
It's the worst crime of them all.
Frankly, that scares the shit out of me. Can you imagine psycho. Having the willpower to bite a cookie but not finish it?
No, I don't.
What kind of monster?
She is a monster.
Like, forget murdering old people.
No.
Who does this to a cookie?
Who takes a bite and only a bite?
There is a woman running around biting all of these cookies.
Oh, man.
This is, I mean, it's serious. Like, they don't understand what's happening. Yeah. This phantom must be stopped. Like, she's so scary that she's just, like, striking fear into the hearts of hardened criminals. They're not giving her up. They can't find her. She's running around Europe just, like, doing whatever the fuck they want. And the police are like, we have to find her. Like, this is it. We have to do this now. It's been years. The police decide that they're going to start testing DNA samples from cold cases and other various crimes. From May of 1993 to October of 2008, the Phantom had a hand in 30 separate crimes in Germany and Austria alone.
Jeez.
Her DNA was found in minor thefts at, like, campgrounds, home burglaries, bank heists, grocery store heists, carjackings, gas station robberies, cold-blooded murders, just, like, anything you could think of. Her DNA is popping up all over.
Any crime that's happening in Germany, she's doing it.
She's doing the crime.
She is the crime at this point.
She's the crime.
She's the crime.
Do you remember the Nazis? Are you familiar with their work?
I'm familiar. I am familiar, unfortunately. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you remember the Nazis?
I don't know how else to segue into this. Okay. Well, Hitler, you know him.
Yes.
Of Nazi fame.
Of Nazi fame, yes.
Yeah. He's the worst.
The worst of the Nazis.
Literally. Yes, like, when you compare someone to how bad something is, it's always.
On, like, a scale of one to Hitler, how terrible of a person is that person?
Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. So Hitler, he loved genetics. Some could say he loved eugenics.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there happens to be strict laws on what the German government is allowed to test for in DNA because of this.
Because of Hitler?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
They were only at the time. I don't know if it's changed since then. but they were only allowed to state and like basically look at the sex of the DNA. So they can only say like, this is 100% a woman. That's all we can confirm.
Instead of being like, she has blonde hair, she has...
They cannot test for skin, hair, or eye color at all.
But they have the capability of doing
it. Yes, they just can't like do anything with that.
Then how did they know how to draw her as a sketch?
Well, other countries are doing it too. Okay. Yeah. But again, it was just like a woman. Okay. Thanks to authorities in Austria who didn't do Nazi crimes, they were able to show that the DNA of the Phantom showed Eastern European and Russian lineage. She probably had dark hair. She was like a white Eastern European woman.
Okay.
One of the leading theories by the German version of like the FBI, basically, is that the Phantom was a Romani person.
Oh, because she was doing a lot of shit all around.
Yeah, yeah. So she like subscribed to like the nomadic lifestyle and would like travel around.
Yeah.
Which would make sense. She's going all over the place.
Well, yeah. And maybe she's, I don't know, then has friends in a bunch of different places, you know?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. In 2005, in a place called Worms, Germany. So all the Z, so you know it's called
Worms.
Worms. Worm hats, worm hat. A Roma man shot his brother in a dispute. The shell casing from that bullet that he fired contained the Phantom's DNA.
Okay.
So the cops thought, okay, this makes perfect sense, right? She must have loaded this gun. She must be traveling with these Romani people. She might be like Roma herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's definitely like with these people. The man denied knowing what they were talking about. He's like, I load my own guns.
He's like, I literally killed my own brother. I did that.
Yeah. Like, why would someone load my gun for me? That makes no sense.
I had this Romani crime boss woman do it for me.
Oh, yeah. I hire a girl to load my guns. Furthermore, the police believed that she was like, she's the manning them and dressing up in men's clothing to commit her crimes, which is why everyone's like, I wasn't working with a woman. Like, it was a man, right? And she was like pulling it over on him. There's also a theory that the Phantom was a transgender man. This came from a single eyewitness, like, what's the word I'm looking for? A person saw her one time, okay, committing a crime. Like, she carjacked this person. And they're like, no, it was a man. And he had, like, a soul patch. And it was, like, the worst beard I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And he looked so stupid. And it was definitely a man because only a man would look that dumb. And the cops are like, are you sure? And they're like, yes, it was 100% a man.
But.
And the cops are like, okay, so it was a transgender man, and that's why he didn't have a full beard.
Right.
Because he couldn't grow one.
And that's why the DNA is coming up as female.
Right, exactly. They're like, this makes perfect sense, obviously.
And I wonder how that works, though, with transgender people. Does their DNA switch then, or do they still...
I don't think so. I think it's just the levels of hormones.
Okay, so then... So then
I don't think your DNA can change.
Say you were born a woman and you transitioned into a man, and you committed a crime, would they think that you were a woman, or would they think you were a man?
I think your DNA shows what you were assigned at birth.
Oh, okay.
I think. I don't think your DNA can change. Up.
Yeah, that's interesting, though. That's really interesting.
Yeah, so I don't know. Hundreds of people... predominantly homeless women, criminals, and known drug users all over Germany, France, Belgium, and Italy were swabbed for DNA to try to find the Phantom. There were zero matches. Until there was a match in 2009.
Dun, dun, dun.
See, since 2008, the existence of the Phantom had kind of been questioned. Like, how was she able to move around, commit all these crimes so quickly without being caught? No one has ever seen this woman.
Yeah, she is a Phantom at this point.
This is why they called her the Phantom. It seemed supernatural. It seemed, like, impossible. A special task force called Parkplatz, or parking lot in English, was set up at the Heilbronn Police Department to catch the Phantom. A reward that was originally 100,000 euro was upped to 300,000 euro to kind of, like, try to suss out some information, get something on this.
Mm-hmm.
In March of 2009, a single case broke all of this wide open. it was so simple and so frustrating. And I don't know. This is my favorite story, I think, that I've done in a long time. So there was a man that had died in a fire. And in an attempt to verify who this super, like, charred, beyond recognition corpse belonged to, they did a DNA test.
Okay.
It was believed that this man was this guy that they knew was an asylum seeker. They're like, we think we know who it is, but we just have to make sure. They tested a card that the asylum seeker was given when he came to the country, and he put his fingerprints on. Mm-hmm. The card tested positive for the phantom's female DNA. And they're like,
okay.
They're like, no.
They're like, how is this happening?
It makes no sense.
Every single time we test DNA, she's on it.
It's this woman's DNA. So everyone's like, this can't be real. There's no fucking way this is happening. So they retested the card, and suddenly the DNA was not on the card. And it was just this man's DNA.
How?
They're like, how?
How?
At the same time they're doing this, a German magazine with the most German name of all time, Stern, came out with an article being like, look, the phantom's not real. The cops, they're just fucking around. They drop the ball. They don't know what they're fucking doing. We don't think the phantom is real.
Oh, because called the cops out?
Yes, because, I mean, the phantom is, like, international news. This is, like, all these crimes all over the place. Yeah. There's, like, APBs out for her. Like, find this woman for us. No, like, one knows what's going on.
Like Villanelle.
Hondo. Absolutely. I need to stop saying that. It's the most annoying thing I've ever said.
Hondo.
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 Hit me in the mouth with this phone.
I will fly across this table.
Throw a rock at my mouth every time I do it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I gotta find a rock.
Make it a smoky quartz so it really has some effect on me. So it brings the demons out in me. Okay, so this Stern magazine is like, the cops are fucking around, right? Mm-hmm. The magazine theorized that there was some kind of mass contamination going on this entire time. And the cops were like, yeah, I think we would know if that was happening. Yeah, I feel like we would know if there was some kind of mass contamination happening.
No.
And then one cop was like, oh, hey, so guess what's happening? It's kind of crazy that you said this because... actually, all the DNAs that we have been testing is actually coming off of the cotton swabs. And it has been, like, the whole time. Isn't that funny? Like, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
So they take a swab out of this, like, sterile little packet that it's in. Mm-hmm. And they test it for DNA. And they're like, oh.
It's got the phantom's DNA, doesn't it?
So it's the phantom's DNA.
Okay, so the phantom is actually a package of cotton swabs.
The phantom is made of cotton. Of course.
The cops are like, wait. The phantom is this cotton swab?
And then someone is just like, are you kidding me?
And this magazine's like, no, we've laid it out for you.
But what if she was made of cotton?
So you're telling me the phantom's made of cotton?
Is she? Could she be a cotton plant? Well, the DNA of the phantom came from a woman, mm-hmm. a 71-year-old Eastern European woman who worked in a cotton swab factory packaging cotton swabs.
And she just packaged all of the ones that the cops bought?
Most of them. The swabs were supposed to be sterile, but they were expressly labeled to not be used to test for DNA.
Okay, well, someone really fucked that up, didn't they?
Yes. It's like this assembly line thing in this woman, the Phantom, whose real name is, like, I don't know, Kathy. She's sitting there putting the shit in fucking packages, being like, so what are you ladies having for lunch? Because I brought borscht, you know?
Yeah. And it's like they went to Walgreens and just bought, like, a container of, like, cotton swabs that, like, we have in our bathroom. And they're just like, this will be fine. We can use this, right?
And then they, like, tried to open it and they, like, flew all over the place. And they picked them up and put them back in the package and then
there's
used,
like,
them
anyways. Dog hair on them. They're like, this is fine.
This is going to be fine. Dogs aren't people. They'll know if it's the dog DNA.
Wow.
So the cops are like, oh, okay, well, this isn't our fault. It's the company's fault, obviously, right? They're like, literally, yeah.
It says right here in giant red letters.
The company was literally like, no, like literally look at the package. It says not to be used for DNA collection. The Bavarian police had obtained their cotton swabs from a different factory. That used actual sterile DNA cotton swabs.
Actual cotton swabs meant for DNA.
For crime.
Correct. For crime
swabs. Crime-specific swabs. Which would explain why there were crimes all over Europe except in Bavaria. Despite Bavaria being in the middle of every one of these countries.
Oh, okay.
Because it was like Italy, Austria, Germany, France.
So all of the cops were using these then?
Yes.
So it wasn't just the German police force. It was every police force.
It was everyone. Except Bavaria. Bavaria's like, we're going to splurge and spend 10 cents per swab instead of 2 cents per swab. And Germany's like, 5. We're saving so much money.
That's the fucking funniest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like one.
It was so many.
It was basically all of Europe.
Yeah. So the cops were like, why did you sell these cotton swabs to cops? What did you think we were using them for?
Your ears.
If they aren't for DNA samples, why would you sell them to us? And the company's like, look, that's on you.
We're going to sell them to anyone who's going to buy them.
Basically, yeah. That's not our fault. You don't know how to read.
Like how the cops are just trying to blame it on them, like any chance they get.
And the German cops were so embarrassed.
I would be too. And they're
like,
they should be.
They're like honestly like still trying to recover from it. Like I was like looking up articles and there's articles from like 2012 and it's like, hey, remember when our cops were so fucking stupid they did this shit? And they're like,
when did all of this end?
2009.
Okay.
So, pretty recent.
Then is all of their DNA work just been trash from 2009?
From 90?
From, like, 86 to
93. 93. 93
to 09. To 2009. There was, like, innocent men in jail because they were using.
Pretty much.
Wow. Okay.
So, this one goes out to the GOAT. The ultimate non-sterile cotton swab packer, Kathy, if you're out there.
Shout out to Bavaria. I mean,
doing the job correctly.
You're the real ones.
The bar, she's very low. So they spent something like, I don't remember what it was. It was like an estimated like 2,000 hours per cop in overtime looking for this, like millions of dollars and resources trying to find what they thought was like the most prolific serial killer, basically, like the top criminal. They're like, this woman is a mastermind.
I wish that she were real, though. How cool would
she
that
is
be?
Real. She's just working in a fucking cotton swab factory.
She just lives a little bit less of an exciting life.
She like licks her thumb every time she opens a package and puts a swab in.
She sneezes on every package. She's allergic to cotton, but it's the only job she can find.
She's been doing it for years, so she's not going to stop now.
No.
So, that's the origin of the Phantom of Heilbronn.
Wow. I want to say that, like, that ending was really underwhelming, but it was just, like, really hilarious.
This is this out of every topic we've ever done, in my opinion, this one fits the descriptor of quite unusual.
Yes.
To a T.
Yeah.
I was reading about this. I'm like, the Phantom of Heilbronn. This is like, sounds so fucking cool, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, crimes, like all this fucking crazy shit she's doing.
Right.
This is fucking bonkers bananas. Oh, it was just contaminated the whole time.
It's just an old woman, an old Russian woman.
Yep. The whole time.
Wow.
So yeah, I love it.
Well, that is quite unusual.
Well, I thought maybe it might be quite unusual.
All right. Well, I have a listener mail.
Ooh.
I would like to
listen
to the listener mail. Listener lore, I guess is what we call it. But so this starts with, hey, what's up, guys? It's Claudio, or Claw _D13 on good old Insta.
Oh, hey, he's the one that made us our little Mothman statue.
He made us a Mothman. He made us a little, you a little Togepi and me a Harry Potter. Okay. And the ass bookends that we have.
Oh, shit, he did make the ass bookends.
It's a great, great sculptor.
He's a beautiful sculptor.
So yeah, follow him on Instagram. He's got some cool things on there. So anyways, he continues with, I've been waiting to catch up on the episodes before sending my story, but you guys asked, so sorry if it's lame. I've always believed in ghosts, but whenever something happened to me or anybody, I knew I would tell myself they were just exaggerating or trying to scare me.
It's good to be skeptical.
When I lived with my family, I used to live in the haunted room of the house, but the whole house was just a little weird. Before it was my room, it was my uncle's and his girlfriend, and they always swore the room was haunted. They'd feel someone sitting on their bed or even touching their face. Ew. Sleep paralysis was also par for the course anywhere in the house. In the backyard, my aunt and uncle took a picture, and a bearded old guy came out in between them. Oh my God, send us that picture.
Oh my God.
But even with all that, I would just kind of rationalize it as us tricking ourselves.
I'm sorry, you took a picture of your uncle, his girlfriend, and fucking Colonel Sanders pops up in the middle, and you're just like, he was there the whole time.
Dude, it's pretty fucking cool, though. I would like to see that.
It's cool and scary.
Yeah. Once the room became my room, I always thought it was fine. I'd hang out with my friends and we'd see or hear something weird like a bump or my electric keyboard keys clicking. But we just kind of thought, we just would kind of laugh and go on with our day. One time they even took a picture of me at the edge of my bed and there was a dark figure standing over me looking like he was staring at me, but aside from some white outliners of a face, the figure was just black.
Oh, okay. That's terrifying.
That's fine and normal. It's
also okay. Colonel Sanders. He's like, why did you buy the bucket? It's 12 pieces.
I saw you got Popeyes for dinner.
Explain.
I also remember hearing voices super late into the morning coming from somewhere, but when trying to listen closer or around the house, it would be dead quiet. I explained a lot of it away as things settling or the light playing tricks on cameras or all of us just scaring ourselves. The freakiest thing that ever happened that I can't just brush off was I would hang out on a chair by my window and watch TV or play video games until late at night. I would occasionally hear very distinct tapping on the window. At one point, I scared myself a bit when I found a forum that said it was a witch or something trying to get in, but I got over it. Uh-huh. We had security lights that I trusted to turn on if something moved. My window was missing a screen, so sometimes I even poked my head out to see if I could find a source, but I never did. Yes, I know poking my head out of the window was so dumb, and if I was a movie character, someone would be screaming their heads off at me, but I was young, dumb, and brave, LOL. This kept happening once or twice a month for a while, and that would be it. Sometimes the tapping would be louder or more repetitive and even happen multiple times in one night, and sometimes it would just be one or two light taps. I just kind of told myself it was a water purifier that was right by my window making noises, and I made my peace with it. Eventually, I got a pup named Lucy.
Aww. Okay, well, I want to see a picture of the dog, so yes, please send that in.
Who would always sit by my feet while I played video games or watched TV. Personally, I do believe it when people say dogs can sense supernatural better than us, so when I would hear tapping, I'd just turn to see if the security lights were on and check Lucy's reaction. If the lights were off and she was calm, then I was solid.
Okay, that's really cute and also like a really great lab test.
Mm-hmm. One night I was up late and my pup Lucy was at my feet, and all of a sudden she perked up. I heard the tapping and I thought, okay, then it taps again. But this time Lucy runs headfirst towards the closet directly across my chair on the other side of the room and barks and growls towards this dark corner. After a second or two of Lucy growling, a frame falls and she rushes back to my feet, but her eyes were still fixed on the same corner. As I'm sitting there freaked out, just looking towards the closet, I hear like 6 or 7 creaks headed directly towards me from where Lucy was growling.
Absolutely not. No.
They just got closer and closer until whatever it was stops like 2 or 3 feet away.
I have goosebumps and I feel dizzy.
Away, 2 or 3 feet away from where I was sitting. When it stopped, Lucy growled and then kind of just did a low cry. Okay, that would scare me if my dog like did a little whimper. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Immediately, I picked her up, grabbed a blanket, and walked around where it sounded like the creaking stopped, aka where whatever was probably standing. Never once turning my back to the spot until the door was closed. Freaked me out, but the next night I just made sure to fall asleep a little early. After a few nights, I just kind of let it go and told myself it hasn't hurt me yet, so why would it start now? If it is anything at all. I have 2 sisters, and the one who lives in the room now says there's nothing going on, but my other little sister says she hears people talking and weird creaks and bumps, but she's not worried. Also, the sleep paralysis seems to have stopped for everyone, so that's good, I guess. Hope the story was at least worth the read. Love you guys, you rock, and thanks for, I don't know, celebrating the strange and keeping it unusual. Bye.
Super spooky story.
Super spooky.
Thank you so much. That was amazing. If anyone has a super spooky story or a story that has like an M. Night Shyamalan twist in it or something, yes. We want to hear it. We want to know, have you been haunted? Has your dog ever reacted to a ghost? Whatever's going on.
Yeah. Did you used to live in a haunted house? Because we do.
Do you currently? Because if you do, get out of the fucking house. You can write to us at quiteunusualpod@gmail.com, or you can, if you want, if you're nasty, slippery slide into our DMs on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. We're at quiteunusualpod there as well.
Yeah, I would suggest doing the email, though, because DMs get real busy.
Yeah.
But we are on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, like Noelle just said, so give us a follow on there, too. And if you want to support us with your monies, we got a Patreon.
Sure do.
Just search Quiet Unusual Podcast, Quiet Unusual Pod, and we'll be there. And we actually have 3 new patrons to welcome.
Oh, well, welcome to the coven, Laura K.
Welcome to the coven, Dave S.
And welcome to the coven, Stacey L. One more thing. I know I said it last week, but I lied to you. We are going to do a live next week, next Monday. I don't know what the date is. What's the date next Monday?
The 13th. Monday. The day before Valentine's Day. Maybe she'll come out.
Monday the 13th. My Bloody Valentine. We're going to summon Bloody Mary on YouTube. You can find us on YouTube at Quite Unusual Pod. We will be there. Subscribe to us. It helps us so much.
We'll be live.
And you can see us get murdered on Monday at 8:30 p.m. Central, February 13th.
We'll be your Bloody Valentine.
I will probably shit my pants, so you guys get to see that. Okay.
Well, as always, remember to celebrate the strange
and keep it unusual.
Bye.
And this is the part of the show, my personal favorite part. We give praise to the all-knowing leaders, supporters of the podcast, all-around benevolent beings, and our sweet little baby patrons.
To Tim M., collector of souls, defender of the Shadow Realm, and really good at baking chocolate chip cookies. Like, you have got to try his recipe. It's bonkers.
It's honestly so good. I can't take only one bite. I take so many.
Delicious.
To Evan K., if he was a color, he would be yellow. Yellow, like the eyes of the lizard people that he claims to know nothing about. How curious, Evan.
We're on to you. And KTT can be found deep in the woods. Definitely not recreating the candy house from Hansel and Gretel, and definitely not planning on using that house to lure children to indoctrinate for the Dark Lord.
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
Adam K., who once told Michael Keaton that he wasn't scared of him. We never saw Adam K. again. Oh, wait, there he is.
Oh.
He's right there. Hey. Hi, Adam. Hi.
Hi, Adam.
You look good. Done something new with your hair.
John S. has been known to lurk in the dark body chutes of sanitariums in search of lost souls to join his book club. The more the merrier.
Caitlin R., who originally tried out for the role of Pennywise, but was beat out by Skarsgård, because, honestly, She was deemed to be too scary.
Mm. Alexei stole an invisible cloak and could literally be anywhere right now. So watch out. Is that them? Oh, God. Is it that?
And Jeff S. Jeff S. once ate 666 Taco Bell soft tacos over the course of a month in an attempt to do a Satan-themed Super Size Me-style documentary called Satan Size Me. But then he realized he forgot to film any of it.
What a pity. I would have loved to watch that.
Same.
Thank you to all of our Coven members on Patreon. Without you, we are nothing.
We're nothing. We're not worthy.
We're not worthy.
We're worth nothing.
We're worthless.
If we were in a retail store and we were priced, it would be $0.00 because we are truly worth nothing.
If we were cookies, no one would take any bites out of
us. Not even a single bite because we're nothing. We're not worth anything. What kind of cookies would we be?